Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that regardless of the storms in life, Jesus said, in this life we'd have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I thank you that we can be of good cheer today. You've called us to be strong in you, in the power of your might. You've called us to have our feet planted on a foundation that does not and cannot be moved. You called us to be bold and strong and courageous. So, Father, I thank you for your peace, your strength, your comfort. Guide us today. Direct the conversation, the thoughts. Let the words spoken not be my words, let them be your words. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen and amen. Like I referenced earlier, a lot of stuff's going on in our world. Have you noticed crisis comes from different shapes, different forms, but one thing all of them have in common is they typically never give you a warning. I've never had a crisis knock on my door, send me an email, tweet, text to say in 3 days you're going to have a storm. Storms typically come unexpectedly. Like the storm of the disciples when Jesus said, let's go on the other side. And he got into the boat and laid his head down and began to rest. And the disciples, even Peter, who was a professional fisherman, found himself in a storm. The Bible, if you look at the original text, means a major storm that came up quickly. They did not see it coming. They were not prepared. Isn't that just like the devil? He tries to hit you when you're not ready or when you're not prepared. And he never gives a warning. But Paul tells us in the Bible, and please challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Paul tells us in the Bible that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, which means that we can know the strategies and the tactics of the enemy. Why? Why should we know? So that we're not caught off guard, and so that we know how to respond, and so that we don't get caught up in the plan of what the enemy's trying to do in our lives and our community. Right now, there's so much media attention, and obviously so. We went from pandemic to 6 feet separation to no one's talking about that too much because it's all about this other situation. And let me be very clear. What happened to George Floyd is unacceptable. Regardless of race, regardless of income, regardless of any other element, that is unacceptable. Did you hear me? No one will disagree with that. And if they do, they're crazy. It was a public execution on film. That should make all of our hearts break. That should make all of us concerned. And if we sit quietly by, and here's one of the things I want to draw attention to. If we sit quietly by and do nothing, evil continues to grow. People in power, regardless if they're politicians or police or whoever, if their heart's not right, the evil that is in their heart will cause them to always overreach and see how much they can do. It's amazing to me how the phrase, the cliche, that no man's above the law is usually created by those who think they are. We have laws. We have a system of laws. And when the system does not work, when the politicians, we have to remember, as citizens, politicians work for us, police, firemen, should be respected, but they are civil servants. They are to work for us. They are not our masters. They are not our bosses. They are to enforce the guidelines of a civil society so that we can all work and live and operate with the freedom that belongs to each and every one of us. But my concern also, besides the situation, and if you want my opinion, and I preface some stuff with, this is my opinion, which means you can disagree with it all you want. I'll still love you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. But in my opinion, every police officer at the scene should be arrested, and everyone should be convicted. No questions asked. No questions asked. regardless of race, no American citizen in our country should grow up with the fear of I might be targeted because of my appearance and my life could be threatened. That is unacceptable, and a voice has to be heard for people to rise up in unity, and the church needs to be the church. We have allowed the enemy to sterilize the church to the point that all of a sudden the church thinks that all we're supposed to do is pat people on the hand and quietly encourage them and say, one day we'll get through it. But that's not how I read the Bible. And that's not the pastor I am. And if you've been with Hope Church for many years, you understand we might look at things a little different than the average pastor in the average church. Because I don't believe that God wants you to be passive. I don't believe God wants his children walking in fear. The Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. I do not think this is the time like that when Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel and everybody was hiding. That's what the modern day church has come to. Let me go on a soapbox for 5 minutes and cut me off and we'll get back right into the word. We have seen the church. We have been neutered by the society. We close our doors because someone recommends it. Who told them they have a right to recommend anything to the church? Historically, the church is relevant. And I appreciate that St. Louis County puts on their Facebook page or on their website that we're relevant. I appreciate the president stating that we're relevant. But at the end of the day, it's not even their right to define if we're relevant. I don't need a politician to tell us we're relevant. The Bible tells us we're relevant. And there is something called separation of church and state. They have no right to close your doors. Church, we have to be the church. Because as we get, we're doing a series and we're going to pause today. In that series, we're going to continue next week about the last days. But hear me and hear me good. As we move closer to the return of Jesus, it doesn't get easier. It will be more competitive. It'll be more intense. And God's not looking for a church that's hiding in the tents of a king or in the pits with the enemy. He's looking for people who will stand up and let their voice be heard. We have churches closing because they might be sued. That's idiotic. They already told you that there's no way that people can go without symptoms in 14 days. How would they even prove it? But even if they could, they might go to jail. They go to jail. What has happened to the men? You know what's the problem? We have lost men and women of God in the pulpit. If you go to jail, go to jail. Where are the men and women of God? And I'm speaking to you somehow. Rise up, men and women of God. It doesn't matter what the cost. Have a conviction in your gut. Have a conviction in your life. And if they take you to jail, if they take your life, let your voice continue to be heard. We have developed professional Christians that can sing, "This is how I fight my battle," until the battle roars and they scurry away. Jesus was very specific in John 10 when he talked about being a true shepherd. And he said a false shepherd leaves the flock. We need men and women of God, not only in the pulpit, but in the pews, that don't try to start a fight, that don't take a stick and poke a bear. That's foolishness. Jesus, when the devil said, throw yourself off the cliff, because doesn't he promise to protect you? Jesus said, we'll not tempt the Lord your God. You don't need to tempt God, but you also don't need to be afraid of the enemy. The Bible says, don't be afraid of those who can take your life. Be more afraid of the one who can take your life in the second death. That means eternity. don't tell me, Romans 13, we need to follow the laws of the land, because laws aren't made by orders. Did you hear me? There is no law that says you have to be shut down. That's, the laws of the land are not made that way. But the law, the greatest law of the land, is the Constitution. We have seen people back away and hide out because of the pressure of a pandemic, and now we're seeing people back away and hide because of an execution. And the thing has to stop, and it will not stop until we begin to voice and let our voice be heard in unity. And when you understand the power of your voice, you don't need to burn a building down. I understand the sum of it, and I will not act like I totally relate, because every person's uniquely different. And it would be insulting, in my opinion, to someone say, I understand. But the reality is, if we sit quietly by, and I can understand a little bit about the frustration and the fear and not knowing where to turn it. But if I could just take a couple minutes on a side note, I have to ask a little deeper questions on why. Why? Why is some stuff happening? Sometimes things aren't just as they appear. Why every 4 years? 4 years we had this. 4 years before that we had this. Why? We need to be heard. But sometimes, and one of our rhythms around here, if you're a guest, one of our rhythms is to teach people not to accept everything that comes down the road, regardless of who's saying it, no matter what minister, no matter what person on the news, no matter what media channel, not even what I say. Challenge everything with the Word of God. Be a critical thinker. I have to ask why. Why would somebody... And obviously, there's racism involved in this situation. Obviously, there's evil involved in this situation. But why would a police officer, and there's good police officers, don't get me wrong, but there's also bad police officers. Why would a police officer kill somebody in the broad daylight knowing there's a camera on them? Why? Knowing anybody that's half educated would know that if you're going to be evil and do something, you do it in darkness. You don't do it in the camera, and you look at the camera. What's up with that? And I still don't know, and I might not ever know, and there might not be anything to it, but I just wonder, what's up with the man with the black umbrella? Has anybody seen that? Do you not see that? In Minneapolis, they weren't rioting at first. They were just protesting. And they have it on film, a white guy in a black tactical outfit, black hat, mask, and a black umbrella, walking over with a hammer to AutoZone and systematically, not emotionally, just start knocking the windows out. And the guy that was filming it began to speak up and say, "Dude, you don't want to do that. The police will be all over you for that." And another African-American gentleman came up and tried to stop him. Stop. And he ignored them and pushed their stuff away as he continued to smash out windows, and they walked away. What am I telling you? I think there's more to this story. I don't know what it is. And maybe God and time will reveal it. I think there's evil people in any level, in any situation. And it's not beyond them to stir up problems for some other cause and reason. Justice needs to be done. Justice needs to be done for George Floyd. No question about it. But I encourage you to critically think, what is going on? Why is this happening? My point today is not to get us to think conspiracy theory, but to bring back in the context. And I've had people say, "Pastor, you need to post something online. You need to get something. You got to say something. People are concerned." And I just had a hesitancy. It's not time. And as I was prepared, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, before I start speaking out there, I need to speak in here. I want to encourage you, before we start doing stuff out there, we need to find our voice in here. Before you deal with stuff around here, you need to make sure you have everything dealt with in here. Before you start dealing with someone else's children, you need to make sure we take care of our own children. Because I know the tactic of the enemy, and the Bible tells us that the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked, that the tactic of the enemy is not only to hit you with an arrow, but to have that arrow contain fire to it so it's a consuming effect that continues to grow. What would that effect be? That could be fear. What do you say to a mother or a father who has to look at their young teenage children and try to explain the situation and try to protect them and prepare them so this doesn't happen to them? Like I said before, this is the United States of America. We're not perfect, but we are the best country around. But it's unacceptable, and as citizens, regardless of race, we should not tolerate any of our citizens having to grow up with a mindset, I may be targeted because of my appearance. Unacceptable. And I not only want to see that stop, but I don't want to see our young generation grow up with fear and hatred and anger for something that happened to somebody else. There's a right to be angry, and there's a right to be afraid, but there's also a greater right. There's a greater level. And that's learning to get to ourselves to a place where God can use us to be a voice. Jesus said that we don't take a candle and light it and then hide it. We take a candle, we light it, and then we position it to benefit everybody in the room. One of the things that's unique about this calendar Sunday is that this is also symbolic representing Pentecost Sunday. That's the day when the Holy Spirit came, and the Bible says, and there was fire above their head. They were endued with the Holy Spirit and with power, and were able to speak with prayer language. But they also had power and boldness. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times to servant girls, all of a sudden, when he experienced the fire of God's power in his presence, the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden he could stand amongst the crowd of the greatest men of their area and begin to boldly speak what God was saying. We need to find our voice. And your voice is not going to be the same voice as the person next to you. We can't boldly speak until we discover our voice. And once we discover our voice, we need to be able to boldly speak, because the righteous are bold as a lion. We need to let society know. We need to let those in power know. We need to let every demon in hell know. Not on our watch. Not in our neighborhood. Not in our country. You have authority. You have authority. Say, I have authority. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. I've watched over this process of time as I read posts and comments of many of your comments and pictures. And my heart breaks for the reality of the pressure of the storm, man. A dear mother that comes to mind, I won't mention her name, posts, how do I communicate to my son who's in his early teens? That's a fear, that's a pressure. Let's take a 2-minute reality check. We're interracial around here. I might be white, but my brother jokes that he's more black than he is white. And I think it's true. We just love people. We just love people. I mean, I'm not denying racism. It's there. I mean, I grew up with my dad's best friend that he was with daily is Pastor Bishop Dunn, who's over here in Chambers. A black man of God who I've always called dad, and he's called me son. That's just the world that we grew up in. That's just the way it is. We didn't. And yet, because there's an even a flip side tendency, because I'm white, there's a natural, you don't understand. And I'll give the fact that there's a lot of things I don't understand. I'm the first to say that. But what I do understand is the people that I know that aren't white, that I love, care about, and have ministered into their lives, some now 30 or 40 years. I've known them. They're family to me, regardless of skin color. They're family. Not just saying family, but family. I would bleed for them and they'd bleed for me. Nobody's perfect. But that's the thing with family. You can know each other well enough to say, I'm still there for you. And I think one of the things that need to be said, maybe for those who are watching online, I don't know, that I want you to know, Pastor Greg and Kim at Hope Church, we stand. We are family. We stand with you today. We love you. Don't have to understand everything, but we love you, and we stand with you today. 1 John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, let's look at this verse, and we'll continue from here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Let me read that again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? We may have what? Talk to me, church. We may have what? We may have boldness in the day of judgment. The word judgment many times can be construed as our judgment when we stand before the great white throne judgment or the bema seat, the judgment of Christ when we get to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. I present to you the idea that that word also in the original text can mean test. That in the day of testing, you can have boldness. Why do I come to that conclusion? Because you look in there, it says, because he, as he is, referring to Jesus, so are we, where? In this world. It's not talking about when we get to heaven. And for this is one of many verses that I fall back upon, and I don't know, you know, God creates each one of us. We have our unique fingerprint. We have our unique identity. And for whatever reason, I don't always understand my personal makeup, but I do not look at these situations in a way to coil and recoil, and to go back and hide out. I look at situations as, all right, if that's what the devil wants to do, let's fight. I don't mind having a good fight. I'm not the pastor or preacher that just tries to fold his hands and talk softly. And I'm real. If the devil's out there and he's going to mess with you, let's take it to him. Let's take it to him in a way that he wishes he never messed with you before. And be like David said, what is the reward? Because what we are coming for is not to defend ourselves. We're looking to take ground. If we're going to stand up, if we're going to have our voice heard, let's have a goal, and our goal shouldn't be just to be heard. Our goal should be a progress. We are coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. We are coming to take ground. Things cannot stay the way they have been or the way they have been allowed, and prior generations may have overlooked it, ignored it, or denied it, but somebody's got to stand up and say, enough is enough, and we have come to not only bring resistance, we have come to conquer. That's the faith I refer to, because Hebrews 11 verse 33 says, by faith they conquered kingdoms and administered justice. God didn't call you to be passive. God never called you to be weak. Most people don't understand their voice. And some people, when they find their voice, don't know how to articulate it. They look for different directions and sometimes get themselves in a position that God never called them to be. Judgment, referring to test. If you're taking notes, write this down. Tests are not a time to learn something. If you're in school, that is when the teacher says, we're going to give you a test, that is not the time to learn something. That is a time to display what you have already learned. tests are not there to teach you something. I wonder what the Lord's trying to teach me. God's not trying to teach you from the test. He's trying to teach you through the word. A test is your opportunity to show what you've learned already. And when you pass a test, you graduate to the next level. When you pass a test, there's a reward. When you pass a test, there's advancement. David said it. What is the reward to the one who takes down this Goliath? Knowing that he could not do it on his own, but he knew that God could not do it without him. It's a partnership. Well, we'll just pray God deals with their hearts. It doesn't happen unless someone speaks up. It doesn't happen unless someone does something, whatever God tells you to do. God works through us. Letting our voice be heard. When we discover our voice, how do we discover it? How do we build a boldness? Real quickly, three things because of time. Number one, if you haven't taken care of inside, don't deal with the outside yet. Do you hear me? If you're in turmoil on the inside, don't deal with the storm on the outside. Get peace, get strength, get boldness, get confidence. The righteous are bold as a lion. This is how we know his love has been perfected, that you are bold in the day of testing. You need boldness. Say, I need boldness. I don't need fear. Say, I need boldness. Now, it's easy to say, it's something else to do. This is not fake it till you make it. This is not act like you have something you do not. This is learning to spend time in the presence of God and the word of God to the place that something changes on the inside. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. And in the process of God, he can strengthen you, Joshua 1:6-10. He can strengthen you in a way, in a manner that you see yourself. And you respond differently, you act differently, you speak differently, not talking like anybody else, but all of a sudden what changes is not your tone, what changes is your confidence, what changes is your strength, what changes is your perspective. If you act out in fear, then you're not in the place of strength. You're reacting out of weakness. Three things real quickly, and then I'm going to speak the word into your life. Number one, we need prayer. So I need to pray. Prayer is just not asking God for something. Prayer is also fellowshipping with God. We need prayer before the situation. Don't go to battle with prayer, because many people think, oh, look what's happening. I need to pray. It's too late to pray at that time. If someone's knocking on your door late at night, if someone's trying to creep through the window into your kid's bedroom, that is not the time to go in prayer and fasting. That's the time to grab the shotgun and let them know that you're a Christian man and woman of God, and you'll give them 30 seconds to repent, pray, or meet Jesus. It's their choice. Everybody's got a right to have a choice. We will not be weak Christians that go, ooh, someone's at my door. Get the gun, baby. Let them know. Call 911. It takes too long anyway. Call it, then get the gun if you want, if that makes you feel better. But let them know you see them. Let them know you see them. Let them know that you see them. And what they are doing, it will not be tolerated. Most thieves don't want the fight. Do you not realize the majority of your protection with your security system is not the alarm or its connection to the police? Majority of your protection in the natural of your security system is that little sticker you put on the window. Because most thieves don't want to fight. They don't want to take a loss. They don't want to take a chance with you. They don't know who you are. You might be crazy enough to challenge them. That's why if you go back over the years, you'll find out we have been in training. We have taught you to pray and spend time in a relationship with God and get to know him. Why? Because Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Build yourself up. If someone picks a fight for you, that's not the moment to say, just a minute, I got to go work out with some dumbbells. I'll be back. You don't have time to work out at that point. We want you to be strong in the Lord. It didn't say feel strong. It said be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Romans 8 tells us when you don't know what to pray for, pray and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. with groanings you cannot utter. He'll pray by praying in the Spirit. You begin to pray and build yourself up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say pray.
Praise.
Number two, praise. Say praise.
Praise.
The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding, will guard your heart, soul, and mind. See, there's power in what God... Folks, this word works. Get out of the Old Testament. Get into the New Testament. Get into the letters that's talking to the church. These scriptures, this word is alive, the Bible says. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You ought to take time and begin to praise God. Well, a lot of stuff's going on. I know that's the time you need to praise Him. You got a wall of Jericho, praise Him. When you got lions trying to eat you, praise Him. Not for the situation, but because He is bigger. We need to have a life where we have a rhythm of praise, because that will build you up and bring you to the place of peace. Number three, quickly. God's promise. I should say your promise. Say my promise. You say, well, you're talking about God's promise, right? Yeah, but Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. You need to take the word into battle. The word is your sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the same thing you see in Revelation 1 when John turns around and sees Jesus, and he says that in his mouth is a two-edged sword. Repeated later when Jesus comes in battle on the white horse, and he comes with a sword that comes from his mouth. Your words, when you speak the word of God, is powerful. But listen to me, you need that word to be revealed to you. Don't take on the sword of somebody else. You don't pick up somebody else's sword to use. You use the sword that God's given you, that you have developed. That's why David told the king, your weapons look pretty, and that armor looks great, but I have not proven them. I cannot take the battle what I have not proven. Are you listening to Pastor? Don't find a verse and then take that to battle. Let a verse find you and be revealed to you. And the verse is the word of God on the inside of you. That's the word that you need to take to war with. Don't wait till the problem and say, okay, there's something in here to find it. No, no, it's not revealed to you. It's only head information. It's not revelation. It has to be revealed from heaven. The Spirit of God's got to reveal that. And when that word becomes alive, then it's yours. And then you can pull that sword out and use it effectively and speak just like the centurion soldier told Jesus. I'm a man under authority and a man over authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. All you have to do, you don't even need to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole. He understood the kingdom authority of what the word of God will do. Isaiah 55:11 says, it will go forth and it will not return void, but it will accomplish that to which it sent. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. Psalms 119 says your word has been established forever in heaven. God watches over his word to perform it. The word of God is a powerful thing. If it doesn't appear powerful to you, it's not because it's lacking power. You're lacking revelation of the power of God's word. Get the word in your life. Get the word in your life. Get the word in your life. That's what Joshua 1, God was telling Joshua, I will be with you like I was with my servant Moses. He's dead, you're alive, I'm with you just like I was with him, and no one's gonna be able to withstand you. All I need you to be is strong and courageous. How do I get that way? He said, meditate on the word day and night. Get it in your mouth, begin to speak it, because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This for many of you should sound repetitive, and that's what I'm doing. I'm just reminding you of what we have learned in the past, so that when you go to battle, you are taking a test, not trying to do something different, but do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be, and let your voice be heard. Say, I'm finding my voice. Shout, I'm finding my voice. Let me just give you a few verses, and again, many of you have heard these before, but that's the point of it. We're not preaching anything new revelation today. Today's not the day for new revelation. Today is a reminder of past revelations we've heard so we can remember what sword we're supposed to pick up. I'm not telling you that what you should do or what you shouldn't do. We've taught you around here, it's not my job to teach you convictions. It's my job to connect you to the Lord and his word so you develop your convictions and walk these things out. Everybody might be a little different. You can't do, you don't have the same skill set as the person next to you. There's a dear lady yesterday at the at our mobile market, and sweet grandma, and she came up to me, and she was just full of energy, and she was working on sorting food, and she goes, "Pastor, I just want to smile and wave at people." I said, "Well, let's get you in the place where you can smile and wave at people." Doesn't that make sense? That's what she wanted to do. I said, "Well, that's easy. Let's come on." And she was real hesitant. I said, "I'll go with you." And I got her right in a position. And I said, "Now just walk back and forth through the car and smile and wave and just tell them Jesus loves whatever you want. Just smile and wave." It's almost like that cartoon. Just smile and wave, boys. That's what she wanted to do. That was her thing. Some people, you can't get them to smile or wave no matter what you do, even if you get them a gift. It's just not their thing, right? You got to work with your style and your giftedness. Don't be something you're not. And for her, it was easy. Let's get you in a place to do what's on your heart. That's what he challenged you to do. Find your voice. Let God reveal to you what you should do. It might be make phone calls. It might be write some articles. It might be do this. It might be do that. I'm not going to tell you. It's not my job. I'm not the Holy Ghost. Let God birth in you out of that place of peace. That's why the Bible says in one translation, let the peace of God be an umpire in your heart and settle with finality all questions that arise in your mind while you stay in that peaceful state. Let God show you and then act. And it might not be doing anything today. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. But you have a voice. And that sound needs to be heard. Because if we do nothing, my friend, we just basically are telling the enemy, whoever the enemy is, though we do not war after the flesh, we war after the things of the Spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty unto God. But if we sit and do nothing, and don't try to do something just so you fit in. Don't try to do something just so you get approval of other people. You're not helping anybody. Do what God speaks to your heart to do. See, I'm finding my voice. Psalms 34, I'm going to read these real fast. Psalms 34, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. You're not going to walk in fear. No, fear is not part of our home. Fear is not going to be part of our life. In fact, you could say, fear, I recognize what you're trying to do in my family and my children, and I do not tolerate it. You need to look into the eyes of your children and say, I know there's bad stuff happening, but you are not going to live in fear. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made God your habitation. The angels of God surround you. You need to speak the word into by faith and by boldness in the life of your children. I don't care how old they are. They hear, they see the news. We don't think they're listening. It's amazing, and they are. Oh, they're paying attention. They're looking at something on the phone or on, no, they're listening. And if all they hear is fear and negativity, all they can shape their opinion on is fear and negativity. We have to be a voice inside before we're a voice outside. Isaiah 54, verse 13, Amplified Classic says this, great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. Did you realize that? God says part of your promise that your children will be disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed. I love that. Undisturbed. Your right as a child of God is not to let anything disturb your children. Undisturbed composure. See, I'm finding my peace. I'm finding my strength. I'm finding my voice. Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Say, I'm finding my voice. Come on, you got to be quicker than that. Second Kings 6, verse 16, New Living says, do not be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on your side than on theirs. Say, I'm finding my voice. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for there is power far greater on your side. Say, I'm finding my voice. Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Shout, I'm finding my voice. 1 John 4, 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say, I'm finding my voice. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Shout, I'm finding my voice. Philippians 4, 13, you can do all things through Christ, the anointed one is anointed, which strengthens you. Say, I'm finding my voice. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, always, always causes you to triumph in Christ and makes manifest, reveals the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. Say, I'm finding my voice. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Shout, I'm finding my voice. Give the Lord a shout of praise for the next 10 seconds if you believe it. This, my friend, is just a few of the verses that are telling, that are shouting from the balcony of heaven. You are not called to be a victim. You are not called and designed to be weak. You have been designed to have dominion in your world. Not in other people's world, your world. We start on the inside of our lives before we fix those around us. The inside of our home before we reach out to those outside of us. The inside of our church family before we start communicating to those outside. Why? Because when you have his strength and peace and boldness on the inside, then what you speak, your sound, will be released with God's power. And one will put 1,000 in flight, 2, 10,000. There's power in unity. If we all hide because we're afraid we're the only one, then the devil laughs because he's isolated us. But if we all stand in unity and say, no, not on our watch. You might try to scare us. You might try to intimidate us. Fear, you might feel the emotion of fear, but it's okay to tell yourself, body, be still. I sense fear, but fear has no right to me. Most people think that if you feel something, then it's got you. No. It's the anointing's like an aroma. And the evil presence of the enemy is like an aroma. Have you ever been around somewhere and maybe sat in a chair or picked up a phone and someone's used it and their cologne or their perfume that was on them is now on that? And you pick it up and you're like, boy, that smells like they're not there. That's where they used to be. When you begin to sense the devil trying to torment you and the world trying to enclose upon you and you feel alone, isolated, in tunnel vision and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, let me encourage you, smile, because the devil thinks he has you, but also he's on his way out, because he would never reveal his hand unless he knew he was on the way out. All God needs you to do is stand and to speak the word. And no, you're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. You're moved by the word of God. And you can subdue kingdoms, Romans 11, 33. Administer justice. Excuse me, Hebrews 11, 33. Administer justice and obtain the promise by faith. That doesn't mean we just go in a corner and pray. You need to pray. But faith without works does not make a change. God's going to ask you to do something. Be prepared to do that something. It might be big. It might seem small. It might be for a lot of people. It might be for one person. You be open for God to use you to make a difference. Because justice must prevail. Did you hear me? We cannot and we will not accept and tolerate anything less. Do you agree with that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I hold up every person under the sound of my voice. And what the enemy meant for evil, we command it to stop and be turned around, and it becomes now a stepping stone of advancement. We bring out of our war chest the truth of your word, and we choose to stand boldly. We curse and bind the tactics and the plans of the enemy against our city, our state, our country. And Lord, by the authority in the name of Jesus, Father God, I ask you, in the next 36 hours, reveal the powers that be that are behind the scenes controlling the situation. Let light shine on darkness and people be exposed for the evil plans and the evil works. In Jesus' name. Now comfort your people today, Father God, by your presence. And I thank you for your strength. And everybody said,
amen.
Before I close, I want to give one more opportunity. If you're here and you do not know Jesus in a real and personal way, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, no one moving around. If you say, Pastor, I do not have a real relationship with Jesus, in the way you process, in the way you know and experience, is Jesus real? Is he your Lord and Savior? If not, you can. Let's pray this prayer. Let it come from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Jesus, I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.